Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Lenny Pierce is an Australian DJ and producer. He is the pioneer of toddler techno and baby raves. He is a multi-platinum and ARIA-nominated artist. Lenny is a former member of the Justice Crew, and his twin brother John is the Purple Wiggle in The Wiggles. Up next on Celeb Savant, discussing his journey in the entertainment industry, his baby raves, and his upcoming Reef Rave tour, is Lenny Pierce.
Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Did you say how old am I?
No, how are you? How are we doing?
I'm good, thank you, and I'm 33 years old.
And
how are you going?
I'm all good, thank you. Where in Australia are you? In Melbourne?
I'm based in Melbourne, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You? I guess in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Oh, wow. Wow, we were.
Okay, so Lenny, let's rewind back to the beginning. At what age, whether it was a child or teenager, did you feel cool? When were you inspired to be part of the music world and or creation, and how did that journey progress?
So, okay. So when I first stepped into the music scene, so I used to be in a dance crew, purely just dancing, back in 2010. So we entered Australia's Got Talent. We won the show and we became Justice Crew. So we were like a pop band, but we're on the scene for about 4 years. So that's when I first kind of stepped into the music industry world. Over time, I started producing music myself and getting into DJing. Did a few gigs here and there, and I just kept my head down and focused on music production for a long time, for a good 10 or so years. And just lately, I just started focusing on producing nursery rhyme techno, so toddler techno, which has just skyrocketed on social media. So that's where I'm at today.
So let's go back to the Justice Crew. Was that you said it was a pop performing act or a dance act?
We won Australia's Got Talent as a breakdancing crew, just dancing.
Okay.
And then we won the show, gained popularity, and then we got signed to a record label. As you know, if you get popular, you get signed. Mm. That's how it sells. And then we started to attempt singing. So we were never singers before.
Okay.
Chucked us in the studio. We started doing vocals, and then we included that in our performance, and we became this pop kind of group.
Okay.
Yeah.
When they approached you to sign to become more like vocal compared to just dancing, was that a surprise for you guys? Did you think, oh, well, this is interesting, or did you just think it was the next progression?
Oh, we just thought it sounded cool. I mean, I was 19 at the time.
Okay.
We didn't know what we were doing, fresh out of high school. We just wanted to perform and become famous or something, you know, like when you're fresh out of school, you're like, oh, this is cool. We can do singing. And because that was pre-social media, this was like MTV or you know what I mean? Mm. Yeah, music videos. That's what we were thinking. So we just jumped in, bang, auto-tune.
Okay, so you had this idea of what it would be like. When it was actually happening, were there things that were happening where it was like, oh, wow, I didn't realize that this was part of it?
No, like nothing bad happened. We kind of had everything laid out for us. But what I take from that experience now, I feel like I had experienced the whole journey of what it's like to be signed to a major record label, to be able to tour internationally, work with like top acts in the industry, go through the recording phase, the release phase, and then it doesn't work out. So I've kind of learned it's there, it's cool, but like what is it? So that's what I take a lot of lessons from that journey. So I went to the top, not to the top, but, you know, we went pretty high and then back down. And then now starting again as like a fresh artist, I've learned a lot because I've been there. It's not new to me. I don't get excited over certain things because I know it can flop. It can go this way or that way, you know? Yeah, yeah. So there's lots to learn. And I find when lots of people are kind of fresh on the scene, new things are coming up, gigs, TV, radio, they get excited, but because I've done that a long time ago, it's like it's just a part of I understand it more now.
So even though you understand it more now, what is the difference for you doing it as part of a group compared to doing it as an individual? Is there any difference?
Oh, there's huge difference. So with the group, you need to have everybody on the same page to be able to do anything, especially if you're in a group stuck under like a label's direction. You as an individual have no real say. Whereas now for me, I can do whatever I want on TikTok or on Instagram and everyone follows my lead. So I have more like a creative outlet, less stress these days.
I'm sure the decision comes quickly compared to when you were in the group and you had to wait for all the others to decide. Now it's just you taking the lead.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And because like I'm someone who thinks very quickly and I get over things very quick. So I can just, if I have an idea, bang it out before we talk about it for too long and then it gets missed.
What was the decision to go into production once the band dissolved?
So I got into music production when I was in the group. Because I was in the studio watching the producers work, and then I'm like, oh, why can't I just do that? And then I just fell in love with it over time because obviously I have a lot to say, but when you're in like a group, you're not really heard. So I guess for me, I'm like, let me see if I can do this just as good.
Okay.
Just to myself, you know?
Yes.
And then I just became obsessed with like trying to make my music sound like what's released on radio. That was like my goal.
So what is that sound? What is the difference between a song that's heard on the radio and one that is not?
So if you're familiar with music production, you will understand. But to explain it to everybody else, so it's actually very hard to make a kick drum sound like the kick drums on the radio.
Okay.
If you just go kick drum, hi-hat, snare, and then you go, why does mine sound like Tetris? But the ones I hear on the radio sound like that. Okay. So there's like a lot more to it. There's a lot more like compression and EQ and stuff. It's a bit more technical terms to do with it. And then after you know all that, then it's being creative. And then there's the sonic sound of a song. Then there's the creative direction of a song. So there's a lot more that goes into it. But that you learn over time by like trying, failing, and trying and failing. And
It sounds like a song that's on the radio is multidimensional, whereas if it's not, it's one-dimensional. It sort of sounds like a tin.
Yeah. There's depends which radio. Yeah.
So you obviously produce for yourself. Do you also produce for other artists?
I used to dabble here and there, but mainly for myself. And now I just for myself.
Okay, so now let's dive into this Toddler Rave. What is it and how did the idea come to be?
So to give you an idea of what it is, so Toddler Techno is basically I would remix nursery rhymes to make them sound like main stage bangers you would hear at like Tomorrowland or big festivals or nightclubs.
Yeah.
That was my whole goal. So that's basically what it is. And I throw baby raves. So it's like a rave festival set up where parents can take their toddlers, kids, to enjoy music, and it's basically all toddler techno, nursery rhymes. So all the kids know the songs, the parents know the grooves, they know the bass, and it's just like a cool concept.
So obviously these nursery rhymes have been around for a long time. So are there copyrights around them or how does it work?
So a lot of nursery rhymes, most of them are called the public domain. Nobody owns them, so you can really use that melody, release the song, and you own 100% of the publishing rights. Some of them are, but most of them are. That's why a lot of these kids' acts can just do different versions of The Wheels on the Bus or, you know, whatever.
How long have you been doing the Toddler Techno for?
So I was just like I was trying to be a DJ. I mean, I was a DJ, but trying to be a successful one, trying to get signed by a label about 2 years ago, doing remixes of whatever songs. They were getting no real attention. Soon as I did Head, Shoulders, Knees and Toes techno version on TikTok, Spinning Records jumped into my email. We want to sign this song. We want to know about you. Then I was like, cool. Did that. And then I started to pump out more on TikTok, more nursery rhymes just for fun. And then I don't know if you're familiar. So my twin brother is in a kids group called The Wiggles. Yeah, so they're like the biggest children's act in Australia. So he's a part of that. At the same time, I'm doing this. So they wanted me to remix a whole album of the Wiggles songs in my style and officially release it. So I did that behind the scenes and it was kind of parked for about a year. A year went by and then I did the Wheels on the Bus techno version for TikTok and it got like 50 million views in the first week, and it just went bananas everywhere online. And then 1 week later, we released the album with the Wiggles, and it just was like toddler techno everywhere. And ever since then, I've just been doing more videos, sold out 35 raves around Australia, and just been growing ever since. Yeah, and collaborating. And
when you first decided to do this Wheels on the Bus remix, was there any trepidation or resistance in your mind that was thinking, ah, this will be perceived as corny and potentially childish because it's a nursery rhyme, and I don't know if I should release this because it's a bit weird or odd? Were any of those thoughts going through your brain?
Oh, all the time. Before I did nursery rhymes, I was doing whatever TikToks. I did Barbie Girl remake, and then I'd say to my wife, do you feel cringy? But then that's the voice that kind of stops you.
Yes.
But I'm the type of person where I don't care to make a clown of myself. Mm. Like, I don't mind. Most people go, oh, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't dare do that. But I think that's what stops people.
Exactly.
So, yeah, for me, like, I don't care. So I just did it. And also, I don't know if I mentioned, so I have a two-year-old daughter. When she was born, I was making these so she could understand them, like for her. So in my mind, I was just making this so she could be entertained, and she was. And I think that's where my inspiration also comes from, because toddlers, they don't think twice before they do anything. I think judgment and like feeling insecure, that's like learnt, and fear is like taught over time. Toddlers don't have that. They just do it.
These raves you're talking about, what are they exactly? Is it like toddlers running around?
Yeah, like before I had done one, I thought that too. I was like, how is this going to work? But from my experience, it's parents holding their, they were like one-year-olds to newborns in their little carrier. Oh, toddlers running around. We have like inflatable balls, bubbles. There's like a coloring in corner. There's like a soft play corner. There's like a tattoo, like, you know, the kids' tattoos, like a section over there. And there's just fun music. So if you've ever been to a wedding, and then you see kids on the dance floor, that's basically the energy there.
Okay.
Yeah. Or like, yeah, it's like that. The kids there and there's parents there, everyone's having fun.
Yeah.
But it looks like a rave.
With like flashing lights and like luminous colors.
We have the pirates. Yeah. It looks really cool. Like it's set up like a rave. And we've got the cold sparks and then the CO2 cannons. And yeah.
And how long is one? Because obviously kids' attention spans these days is not very long.
Yeah, so the event would run for about 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
It'd be like 15 minutes of like entrance coming in, everyone's getting their place. And then my set typically will go for about 45 minutes where it's like interactive dancing and kind of set like a DJ.
Mm.
But also keeping in mind you've got to keep the kids entertained with the giveaways and the best dances and all this stuff. And yeah, like it's still in the development experimental phase as well, but that's basically what's worked so far. 45 minutes is like plenty of time.
Yes.
Kids are tired. They're buying merch, they're buying accessories, you know, they're taking photos, having a good time.
So you said you've done a whole bunch of them. So have there been any ideas that you thought, oh, cool, this will work, and it didn't work?
So far they've worked, but we've got a new lineup of shows called The Reef Rave coming up this January, February. So we've kind of taken what we've learned from the last tour and we've incorporated more of like a kids' entertainment to begin with. Instead of like an opening DJ, we would have kids entertainment to keep the toddlers and kids more engaged and not tire them out with too much doof doof too much too soon. So if you're listening to this, you don't be stealing my ideas, okay? So we're just like trial and error, see what the kids engage with. Yeah, like as you said, like kids get bored quick. I can see it, you can feel it. They get tired, but they do enjoy the outing. Yeah.
Everyone experiences information differently, sound, vibrations, music, everything differently. And it's not something that they could particularly articulate. I wonder if toddlers experience music differently to the way that we as adults experience it. This is more of a rhetorical question and not something really that we'd be able to answer. Because we don't know. We just presume that their brains are receiving the music the same as us. But it might not necessarily be so.
Should be interesting. Yeah. Like I've seen a lot of kids resonate well with like techno. Most people are like, do kids even like techno? But I read this the other night. Newborn to like one-year-old's heart rates are 150 BPM as opposed to ours is about 120.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the techno is resonating with them a bit more. Maybe kids are crazy. They have the burst of energy. They're chaotic. They're loud. So maybe that gets their attention. I don't know. We'll just see. Music, I don't think we understand why we even like music to begin with. We just, there's no explanation. It's just an emotional tool.
Yeah, exactly. And literally every person in the world has one song that they love. So everyone enjoys.
Yeah, yeah. Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so spanning doesn't have to be kids specifically. So just a game. I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 10 years, 5 hours, I know your answer will be different every time because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs by the other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those songs be and by whom? And if you can't think of specific songs, then just 5 artists.
Tiesto, Let's Get Down to Business. That's just on the top of my mind. DJ Sammy, Heaven. I don't know why. Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On, is just always in my head.
Okay.
Backstreet Boys, Everybody, that's there.
Mm.
Justin Bieber, Baby. These are ones that are just flying out right
now. Yeah, but that's perfect. Yeah. I know if I literally had to ask you that again, you'll have another 5. So that's why I love this game.
Yeah.
So
it depends on the mood I'm in or the...
Exactly. Completely. So you mentioned you got this the Reef Rave coming out in the next few months. Have you planned anything beyond that, or are you just focusing on those and then going from there?
So my Reef Rave will finish up in March.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a new baby in April. So we've got this timed out. So when the tour finishes, that's when I'll be home and I'm going to be focusing on more music and online content. And we're actually looking at a tour in the United States, and hopefully we're going to aim for Europe after that.
And then South Africa thereafter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. The demand's there. Yes. You just get on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So Lenny, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I think just don't take life too seriously. Have fun and don't be scared to be a clown.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.